the World Saxophone Quartet with I Heard That. That is from their album, the title track of their album from 1988. Sad to say, we lost two of the four members of the quartet. Hamiet Bluett died in 2018, and Julius Hemphill, I was trying to remember his first name. Julius Hemphill died in 1995. But we have evidence of their genius and their musical ability and their composing ability. They left quite a bit of work behind them. This is Lead Stories. I'm Lucrece Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What is Free Your Mind Friday? If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. We dispense with our regular programming format and open up the program to be a forum, just an open forum for callers or listeners who want to call in and express a particular point of view about something that they feel strongly about. So that's the purpose of Free Your Mind Friday. Usually it might be an issue or event in the news, or it could be something else, whatever you want it to be about. But it is about giving us a specific point of view in your presentation, and then we see whether anybody reacts to it. And maybe there would be no reaction. They'd just listen. But this is the point of Free Your Mind Friday. It is an open forum. There's no scheduled discussion. We are listening instead to your thoughts, how you're seeing the world, and what you're thinking. The number to call is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Please, when you call, have an opinion. Don't just call and yammer. Have an opinion about something. Hopefully it's a nice, strong opinion that people can react to. All right, we start off in Berkeley. Harvey, you're on the air.
Trees.
Hello, Harvey. How are you doing?
Very good, and bless you and your vast PRN audience.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, a few days ago, after his inauguration, President Biden vowed to replace the U.S. government's fleet of roughly 650,000 vehicles with American-made electric vehicles as his new administration shifts its focus towards a renewable energy future. And as far as I'm concerned, that's only half the equation. So the question is, who will supply the electricity that will be needed to power the federal government's new fleet of 650,000 electric vehicles? Are they going to run on electricity generated by the country's coal, oil, and methane-fired fuel power plants, which emit a tremendous amount of greenhouse gases and are responsible for overheating our planet at an unsustainable rate? The simple answer is to power as many of these electric vehicles with solar panels that could be installed on the rooftops of federally owned and leased buildings. In 2017, Forbes magazine reported that the federal government owns at least 270,000 buildings across the USA. Once manufactured and installed, solar panels emit no greenhouse gases over their estimated 20 to 25-year warranted lifetime. They also have no moving parts, make no noise, and are virtually maintenance-free except for an occasional cleaning. Another bonus is that the majority of photovoltaic panels are easily recycled. And here's the good part. The generated solar electricity can be used to power both the federal buildings as well as supply much of the electricity that will be needed to recharge the government's new fleet of 650,000 vehicles. The installation of solar panels on these federally owned buildings would create a massive jobs program, which could dramatically help to reduce unemployment, especially for America's for America's for the people of African descent. And I would like to see the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People use their influence to lobby the Biden administration about training people, especially in economically depressed communities, to install solar panels on federally owned buildings so as to make a major impact on our important effort to dramatically reduce global baking that's jeopardizing all life on our home planet, our wonderful Mother Earth. So with the dawning of the renewable energy reset, it's time to get star powered, and I say let's get solar.
I say you are right, and I never did think about it, the issue, the way you just presented it. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Very good points. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Henry. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, you trees?
I'm hanging in. Like
all righty, all right. I want to wish you and the PRN and Lead Stories listeners a safe and productive weekend.
Thank you.
The situation that just happened this week and some of last week in regards to the Reddit Wall Street hack, and just to quickly say, for those who don't know, there were a couple of small stocks on Wall Street that rose significantly over the last couple of weeks. One in particular, GameStop, which is a fledgling video game retail company, and also AMC Theaters. Now, apparently what ended up happening was a bunch of regular investors from Reddit basically kind of drove the stocks up of these small companies like GameStop, AMC, and also BlackBerry. And they went against major hedge funds that were betting what they call put. I think they call it put options. I'm not a financial expert, but I'm just explaining the best that I could. But these small Reddit investors basically rose the stock to go against major hedge fund investors that betted against the stock, for falling. So it caused a big stir over the last couple of weeks, and it went to a head the last couple of days where online investment apps like Robinhood basically kind of took off GameStop and these other stocks that were just climbing rapidly. Because from my understanding, before the year started, GameStop stocks were like $18, and then they rose up to like $300 a share. So it kind of caused a stir. Now the SEC is involved in it. But it goes to show that, whenever as David from Brooklyn say, the elites do something to make, more money. And I know you did a show about billionaires, profiting off of the virus and the situation that happened in 2020, everything is okay. But then when a group of, investors get together and go against, the big Wall Street hedge fund people, then they want the government to be involved in it. So I thought it was interesting. But, you have to put this into perspective as well, because even though on the surface it looks like the little guys are beating the big guys, let's understand that this is still their game. And Wall Street is still run by the major elites, as David from Brooklyn said, the corporations. And they get to change the rules whenever they want to, just like they did the last 2 days. So let's understand that. But I do want to take a positive out of this, whereas when people get together, things can get done. But, like I said, let's not lose the perspective that this is still their game, and it is not ours. So I wanted to add that. But also I wanted to ask this, maybe to the audience, because I know you have a lot of people that call in from New York and other parts of the country as well. Here in Chicago, carjackings have gone up significantly over the last year. And I was wondering if this was happening in other cities as well in regards to carjacking. So I just, you know, I just wanted to, you know, put that out there.
What do you think? What do you think is behind that? What do you think is motivating the rise in carjacking?
Well, you know, I was at a meeting last week in regards to that, and you know, one of the things that we have discovered, or other people have discovered, was the perpetrators are as young as 12 years old. So these are young people doing these carjackings. And so a lot of things can, you know, can attribute to this with the, you know, with schools being on remote learning. So these young people aren't, you know, technically aren't going to school. Economic crisis, obviously, over the last year, you know, the economy has gone down dramatically. So obviously, there's probably some sort of financial incentive to kind of do this. But at the same time, it's all about our children and how we have not reared them successfully to just, you know, just basically respect life. So yeah, there's a lot of things that have been short term, but then there's still a lot of long term issues that we have to deal with.
Wow. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. From Florida, Desiree, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, you two. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Good afternoon, and hello, PRN family. This is kind of like a response to last Friday's For Your Mind Friday. But I keep, there's a lot of people using words that the dinosaur media keeps like using, like insurrection and attackers and these kinds of things. And in regards to the insurrection, again, these buzzwords keep on being, you know, pushed onto our ears. And I think we should really be upset, you know, with the change in language. Like, now they are not protesters, now they're attackers and rioters and stuff, and they should be brought to justice. And I don't really watch the news all that often, but on MSNBC, Naveed Jamali, who's some author of a book, said on live news that, quote, the insurrectionists are anti-American, which led me to think of the question, well, what does it mean to be an American? And then went on to call them, quote, domestic terrorists. Now, I think these kinds of labels are dangerous to those of us who are trying to enact change within political systems, racial systems, food systems. And so, and then like another question I thought of is, okay, well, what makes those people terrorists, that they go accept the accepted norm of media? Okay, and now I understand, and I see that the march on this building, well, I see the march that happened, like, on that building, a great step in America. And it's happened in a lot of countries, and angry gets things done. Now, I don't have anything in common with the political stance of the people that were in the march. I've never voted, and I'm a witness to the things that happen when a new Republican, a new Democrat comes into the American regime. But when I was watching the riot stuff, I kind of felt bad for those people out there, not because, oh man, Trump's not going to get in and we're going to lose this horrible monarch system. No, I felt bad because they're going to be used as a scapegoat. Like, Yes, you see everything that's on TV. Look at all those people. They're disgusting. They want racism to continue to perpetuate in this country and all of these things. You see, this we can't happen. Look, we're not a statist, but look at this poor, beautiful building and everything that it stands for. And Trump's doing this. What we have to do now is we have to ban any kind of people rallying together. No more protests. No, nothing like that, unless it falls under these guidelines and let's do these things. How is it that nobody's mentioned the fact that what's this guy's name now? Biden. He wrote enacted a whole bunch of whatever he calls those papers that they signed. All of these new bills or inactions. He's signed more than Obama, Trump, and George Bush combined, and people are celebrating and they're real happy. And
yes? Let me react, Desiree. None of this
absolutely
seems to be none of what you've said so far seems to be your original thoughts. It seems as if you're repeating stuff that you picked up here, stuff that you picked up there. Let me ask you, what happened in Washington, D.C.? What would you call it? If the word insurrection, you object to that word, what is the word that you choose to use?
I saw a bunch of people and it looked like a protest. No, I didn't watch it online.
You're a grown person. You can't call it a bunch of people. What do you call that action with all of that violence? What is the word you prefer to use, if not insurrection? What is your word?
Looks like a bunch of people protesting to me.
No, don't tell me about a bunch of people. There were thousands of people. That's not a bunch.
Oh, there were thousands of people. Okay.
Okay. And it was not one of those protests where people were loud but orderly, loud but lawful, loud but they had a point to make. They went there to create havoc. They went there to fight. They went there to commit acts of violence. What do you call that? A bunch of people?
I was really surprised. And not surprised that this was happening. I'm surprised that
I didn't ask you that. I did not ask you whether you were surprised or not surprised. I'm asking, what do you call it?
I still call it a protest. And yes, okay, it got out of hand. But
it got out of hand.
These kinds of things do happen, and I think they should happen.
People arrive on the spot with weapons and with intentions to inflict bodily harm. They're looking to kidnap people from their offices. What do you call it? I'm stunned at your naivete. I really am. You think out of hand? No, this is what they planned. They executed their plan. Their plan was to create havoc. Their plan was to destroy property. Their plan was to kidnap, at least this is what we are told now, their indications they had planned to kidnap and maybe even do worse to legislators that they encountered.
But now here's my thinking. And I remember Gwen from New York was on and she got very, very, she was like really in it. But I'm feeling like the complete opposite from Gwen. What's wrong with what we saw? I'm not talking about the message that they're proponing. I'm not talking about the message. I'm talking about that many people doing those things. What is wrong with that?
You actually are asking me a question like that? What is wrong?
Yes, because
thousands. Wait a minute. I haven't finished formulating the question. What is wrong, you're asking, about thousands of people planning an assault on the nation's capital and in the course of doing so, perpetuating a number of illegal acts up to and including the possible kidnapping, the possible killing of legislators. Are you really asking me what's wrong with that?
I am, because there's been points in American history where...
We're not talking about points in American history, because you will have to go back beyond the Civil War. You'll have to go back way beyond how people were kidnapped, as in Africans, kidnapped and brought here, how the indigenous people were wiped out. So don't bring that up. Let's deal with the situation that you raised.
There was there were Puerto Rican activists who were for Puerto Rico remaining a sovereign country. No, we don't want to be part of the U.S. So they went out and they thought, hey, you know, we'll go in.
You're all over the place. I hate to interrupt you, but it is very, very difficult to tell what your point is because you're all over. And you're not making sense. You're not making sense. What is your position? I ask you, what do you call that intense encounter, and you tell me it's a bunch of people protesting? And I now have to ask, what planet are you on? When you can see that, you can witness that, you hear the testimony of people who were there, whether they were for Trump or against Trump, they were discussing the incident itself. And you tell me this is just about a bunch of people who show up with weapons?
They're looking at the incident, and they're just surmising it up to, oh, yes, there's thousands of people, and they have all of these weapons, and they're doing these things, and this is preposterous. But
all right.
I'm not seeing it from that place. I'm seeing it from, I'm not a statist, and I don't like this country. I was born here.
It is not about being a statist. You're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole point. The point of it is you refuse to see a thing for what it is. You just refuse to see it. I'm asking what you call that assemblage, and you just say, it's just a bunch of people. It means you're not living in the real world. It means your definition is way different from most people's definition about it.
If we make it bigger than what it is,
we don't have to make it bigger. And we here's the thing. When people react, you know, nobody asked permission to assemble and let us, the bunch of people, they didn't commit to being orderly or anything. They went there to create disorder and to fight and to do even worse things, to damage buildings, to invade people's desks and steal their material. It is not lawful behavior. It is not civilized behavior. So out the window goes any, and from my perspective, you don't have any point in defending that. There's no point to defending that. And tell me it is just a bunch of people, you really need to reorient yourself about what took place in Washington, D.C. If you think that was just about a bunch of people, and, you know, they have the right as well to express their views and so, you know, you really need to get reoriented here. So I would suggest that you do some more reading and that you a picture of what actually happened. And beyond that, don't define it until it defines itself. Go look at it. Go see what happened. Go listen to what the testimony has been of people who were there. And listen to legislators saying they were running for their lives. Listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just say yesterday, accused one of the people egging this thing on as basically trying to have her killed. This is not a joke. These are not
people. I understand that you mislead. Absolutely. I absolutely do. But the other side to this is if we, no doubt, I'm sure, yeah, there's good people in there and all, you know, I wouldn't want any lives to be taken. But we're talking about the same
lives. But lives were taken. Here's the point. Five lives were taken. Now what? Five lives were taken. Yes. And we had, in the last couple of days, two police officers commit suicide because they felt that they didn't do enough. You know, you gotta read. You have to read and read from a broad enough source, from broad enough sources, and get a different picture. But you sound so naive and so completely unhinged from the reality that most people have had to deal with. This is not your basic, let's get together and shout a lot. No. This was...
But it's interesting that you say this, because I've been looking at this from a couple of different perspectives, and the same way you said, oh, well, you know, these legislators, you know, they were in fear for their lives. And then I thought about, you know, some of the things that I've heard on your show and other shows. Well, who are these legislators? Are these legislators?
I'm getting irritable now. I'm getting irritable listening to you because now you're being a kind of self-appointed investigative reporter, and you're operating with nothing. There's nothing. I got to say goodbye to you. Goodbye to you. Goodbye to you, Desiree. Mitch from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you? Good. Well, we lost one of our greats, Cecily Tyson.
Yes.
And she brought a lot of pride to our race by saying she wouldn't do no role that would diminish her or her people. And she didn't. You know, all the roles that she took were positive. Now, when you look at some of what's going on today with our young women that are call themselves in the pop culture or show business, how they actually prostitute themselves in a shameful way.
Oh, really? You're going to use that word in connection with black women?
Well, when not all black.
Themselves.
I'm saying those.
What about the men?
Like,
let me ask you: What act do men commit when they go along with it? Is that prostitution?
Men are doing the same thing too.
Yes, but don't.
I mean,
don't,
and a lot of
what I'm cautioning about is. Watch your language, because in fact you are endorsing a sexist and racist point of view in trying to make a point. You say it's the many black women who are not in the industry, but not towing the same line, not behaving in the way that brings honor to the racial grouping. But you don't have to say prostituting themselves, because in a sense, all people in that industry are prostituting themselves. Don't use that word.
I didn't say all women were doing that. But when you look at young people like this lady, what's her name, Stallion? Is that what she called herself?
I have no idea.
Terrible. It's terrible. It is terrible.
But it has been the case all throughout history. You have black people that we revere today who were cocaine addicts, drug dealers. I mean, it's ridiculous. People we respect. I'm saying, when you pass a judgment like that, and in order to make a point where you say, well, you could point to these people's or a certain person's foibles and then attribute it to, use the word prostitution, then I would ask you, who is not prostituting themselves in Hollywood?
But all I'm saying is, I know people that are in show business, and yes, a lot of them are carrying themselves greatly. But when you look at, like I said, I use this lady Stallion, you know. She's a big thing on the internet and the pop culture. And the things that she does, I guess to make money, is terrible.
Can I ask you a question? Could you name at any point in our history, our collective history, any point where a popular person, an artist, wasn't accused or saddled with these pejoratives? They're prostitutes, they're this, they're that. They're trying to survive in a very complex world.
Because she never did that.
But she never did that.
Now look at
in her
Lena
crime.
Horne. Lena Horne, she made a statement once. She says, at one time, for Hollywood, a woman of color in Hollywood could either be a maid, a whore, or a school teacher.
We know those stories. But yeah. What about the men?
Well, I'm not talking about the men.
But
I'm talking about Cecily Tyson and what she...
But what she brought to us
emblematic. As a people.
Is she not? Is she not emblematic? Is Lena Horne not emblematic of the industry itself and the challenges that people have who either are in it or want to be in it? There are things that they feel compelled to do that go straight across the grain from what they've been taught. I mean, don't do that. I'm just saying
a person should have boundaries.
I'm saying don't unnecessarily judge. You have no idea what goes on. We had the case of what's his name, the big Hollywood producer who is now facing, who has been serving time and whatnot, sexual predator.
Well, good. He's in jail. That's where he should be.
Yes, he's in jail. But
that's where he should be, in jail.
Yes, he should
they have
be
this movie. I was at a friend of mine's house, and he's playing this movie. I think it's Empire is the name of it. Terrible,
yes.
terrible. Our women were doing these things, and our men doing these things with our women on TV, and supposed to be doing that to make money.
Yes.
How can you do that to make money?
And you have the clean version of that as well. You have a pristine, yes, you have the clean version of people with the right education and the right upbringing and the right morals, as you would say, but they're up to their eyeballs in all kinds of strange behaviors. But we don't talk about that because it's the appearance that we get. We've got to understand, you just can't make a judgment like that separate from the history of it. What is the history of Hollywood? What is the history of black Hollywood?
My point is this. if you're going to do something to dishonor those that brought you into this world, or people that have, whose shoulders you stand on, don't do it.
Well, you're not saying anything new there.
Just to
and
make
they
some
know
money.
It better than you. Yes, but
just to make some money,
huh,
or be a part of something that's going to diminish you, like this girl, Vanessa Williams. She was the first African American Miss America, but her grandkids can look on the can get on the internet and see all of these things that she was doing.
You started it, so I'm going to finish it. Your point of Vanessa Williams, what was the main thing that she was known for?
Thing that she was known for being the first African American Miss America.
The first close to white African American.
Well, she was
with
the first African American.
Green eyes and nice hair. Still, just the same, endorsing a stereotype in order to survive. That's what she agreed to do. I will be the stand-in for the hopes of a whole bunch of black folks who don't want to see black people on film. They would accept Alina Horn. She has nice hair. She has a nice nose. And Alina Horn was far more radical than a lot of these people who talk about what black people ought to look like and be. The first person that you just talked about, the first black Miss America, was Miss America because she came very close to being white. She was acceptably black. And what damage did that do to the psyche, the collective psyche of black people? Any answer to that?
At that time, it was damaging. I mean, what came out, you know, what she had did in the past with all the, like I said, I just took and walk on the internet
just,
and grandkids and say, look at Grandma.
You just found yourself in a hole. Because I'm saying we are so quick to unsheathe our swords and lop off people's heads in the name of what was right, what is good, what is not good. We ought to just stand back a bit. If you want to know about the filth of Hollywood, you got to look at white Hollywood. What it did.
I'm not concerned with European people and what they do.
Yes,
I'm concerned with my people and what they do.
Okay, but I asked you about black people and what they do, and you had no response. You had no real response.
I mean, I don't accept the fact that you would do anything to make money or to get your name on the board.
You don't accept that. Well, it is true, nonetheless. It is largely true that in a world where certain ideals are set, certain rules are set, certain ways of operation are set, and you want to be part of it, you have to make a decision. And in some way or the other, it will involve compromise of your integrity. Yes, it is.
Giving the whole
you
show
could call
away
it what you want. You could call it what you want. Some people look at it as, this is what I'll do until I can do better. This is what I'll do to start out. But you can't make judgments like that. I'm saying we are quick to make judgments, like summary judgments like that, without appreciating the full dimensions of the situation. Like a lot of black people I know had to take jobs that no self-respecting person would take. But they took them because they had to survive. I'm not going to you know, stand on a mountain pointing down at them and condemning them for doing the jobs that they did. So just be careful is what I'm saying. I appreciate you have a point of view. I do appreciate it. I'm not negating it at all. But I'm saying when you see yourself veering in that direction, try not to be so hasty in coming to conclusions. First of all, you don't have any facts to base the conclusions on, but it's all a matter of your personal reaction. But also try to consider how did they get caught up and couldn't find themselves out? They did a lot of things. Many were lucky, very lucky, to have played the game and survived it. But many were just chewed up and spit out. We have a lot of, we should have a lot of compassion for people we can just make a flash judgment about without understanding.
Well, I'm just saying people should have lines that you don't cross. Like I said,
who are you to say that? Who are you to say that? People should have lines that they don't cross. I'm sure if I were to get into a deep confession.
Make themselves, you know, to not honor themselves, to make people proud of them.
Yes, I get that. But
you know,
what?
You should have a line. You shouldn't just do anything. I look at a lot of the pop culture, like I said today, and some of these rappers, how they be talking about our women and talking about shooting up the community and all of that other stuff.
Yep,
anything to make money. Terrible.
It's not anything to make money. This is where they find themselves in a very carnivorous industry. And they have brought themselves to believe there are certain things that they must do and comply with if they are to survive and thrive in that industry. I don't make any judgment about that because, you know, I'm not paying their rent. I'm not feeding their children. But I do agree, and I could see the legitimacy of your criticism, that they should exercise more control. But this is a power thing. It's a very complicated thing. You don't just go into an industry. You control nothing. You control absolutely. You're a piece of meat. If you should go bad next week, you're done. It's that kind of story. And it has always been that way. It's been more and more ferocious because so many people see it. It's been marketed to the general artist public that this is a moving industry, can make a lot of money, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you got to give up some things. You got to do some things that you may not be proud of, even 5 years from now. So this is a thing, and you raised a very good point here today. This is the discussion we have to have, but it can't come from a judgmental place. It's got to come from an analytical point of view so we can appreciate the full dimensions of any situation where people are involved because they see it as a way to make a living. And this is a brutal world. The United States is a brutal world. And there's no telling, really, what, depending on your state of living and being, what you will be prepared to do in order to survive. You have no idea.
Okay, sister. Well, thank you.
I thank you. thank you for calling. I appreciate it. You made some good points. Thank you so much. 888, well, I don't know why I'm saying well. We have more people than we could accommodate right now. Mitch from New York, you're on the air. Hello, Mitch. Okay, Mitch is not on the air. Bob from Virginia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Latrice, and everybody listening. Thank you very much
for letting me make a
comment and then ask you a question. And it's cold in Virginia. So first of all, the gentleman who spoke about solar cells, I 100% agree. If you want a place to put solar cells, there's hundreds of miles of a wall on the southern border of the United States sitting there doing nothing. So why not plaster that with solar cells? You'd make a huge amount of electricity. That's a comment. Now I have a question. I look back at old newspapers and videos and all sources I could find 4 years ago when President Trump was elected. What I saw was hundreds of thousands of people in hundreds of cities over several different weeks looting, burning, destroying businesses, turning on police, turning over police vehicles, spitting on police officers, and there was no calling out the National Guard. There was destruction of property both federal and locally governmental and private businesses destroyed, and many people injured. What do you call that?
I call that wholesale rioting, and that's what happens. That's what you should expect.
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry. Say it again.
I say that's what you should expect when there's a major riot as opposed to a demonstration.
So 4 years ago, let me get this straight. 4 years ago, there was a major riot, peaceful riot, right, by hundreds of thousands of people rioting against the fact that President Trump was elected. Not peaceful demonstration like they're entitled to by the Constitution, not lawful assembly like they're guaranteed by the Constitution. You call it a riot. Am I right?
I'm saying, based on what you're describing, I would say that's a riot.
Okay. So
what
is that
you're what describing is disorder, destruction of property. You have people with fearing for their lives. You have all the makings of a riot in what you describe. I haven't read the article. I don't know about it.
Okay, so 4 years ago when President Trump was elected, you called a major riot for weeks and weeks and weeks, but there was no calling out of the National Guard. There was no control by local police. There's no governors and no mayors that came out and protested against it and told them they should stop. In fact, there's a mayor in New York City who applauded them and went there to speak to them and egg them on.
Okay, so what is the implication from you about that?
Okay, I'm gonna explain. Thank you for asking me my next question. You introduced this next what I'm gonna say. Now you have people. The estimates were about 8,000 people who were in Washington D.C. at the Capitol, peacefully demonstrating in the beginning for sure. I'll get to that in a second. Legally allowed to assemble, there's a right to assembly, guaranteed in the Constitution. And I watched on four different state TV stations and networks for 4 hours, and I saw nothing but people milling around and waving flags. I had other people go over the videos that they could find, and for the first 2 to 4 hours, that's what was happening. Then all of a sudden, it turned violent. It turned violent. Now, the violence you're telling me about that I saw was a District of Columbia police officers and Capitol Police officers with their guns drawn. I didn't see not one single person outside the Capitol with a firearm or any weapon, even as simple as a baseball bat. And then we had Capitol Police officer, one of them, shoot execution style someone who was breaking a window. What do you call that?
I call it what you were shown, what you saw, and what you interpreted as what you saw.
Okay, so
you were not there. Let's be clear. You were not there.
Okay, correct? were you there?
No.
I'm sorry?
No, I do not go to things with big crowds.
Okay. Did you interview firsthand, personally, any single one of the people that was there?
No.
Okay. Did you talk to anybody after the fact, to anybody who was not in the Capitol, who was outside, part of that peaceful demonstration?
Oh, yes, I talked to people. Yes, I talked to people.
Okay. And did
I'm trying to get to you, what is your point? Wait a minute. Is this, am I being, should I take the fifth or what? You're questioning me, like, what is the point of your question? Questions.
Characterizing an event that happened for which you have no first-hand personal knowledge, you maybe have very limited any other kind of knowledge, and you seem to be degrading and disparaging the people who were involved in what I saw was a peaceful demonstration, and even accusing them of 5 murders.
Okay, what you saw from what you were shown.
Who killed those people?
Did you see all of the coverage of that day, by the way? Did you see all of the coverage from all these different vantage points of the day? Did you?
The first, say, 3 to 4 hours of the coverage.
No, you saw the first 3 to 4 hours of one kind of coverage, one set of coverage. That's what you saw.
Different stations and networks. Every angle, everything that was going on, everything that looked peaceful. Then later on, I didn't personally sit and watch every single second of it like I did the first 4 hours.
Did it cross your mind to ask the obvious question? The obvious question being, and you saying it, but you're not asking it, how it changed from one thing to another. Did you have any explanation from anyone about this dramatic change from what you saw to what ended up being shown?
So while I was watching...
No, answer
it,
that. Answer that question. Answer that question first, if you don't mind.
From what I saw and what I heard of reported live, there was no explanation of anything that was at all anything you could consider violent, peaceful insurrection. After the fact, there were many people who were willing to call it insurrection. From what I saw, I didn't watch it for 24 hours. I got to admit, I didn't sit in front of the TV for every second of the time watching. But at some point, I agree. It was reported, and I even saw some videos afterwards of things that were violent. And I also saw and heard and spoke to people who were there who said it kind of happened all of a sudden.
All right. Well, let me ask you another question.
It's not for me to judge.
We're tight on time. We're tight on time. Right now, with all the passage of time and so forth intervening, are you sure you knew what you saw?
Am I sure I knew what I saw?
Yes. Are you sure you know? Okay, put it in the present tense. Are you sure you know what you saw?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
In other words, was this just a regular demonstration? Or were there things planned and timed and organized and orchestrated to produce an entirely different result so that you have something that looked organized and orderly and then breaks into craziness and violence? Are you sure you know what you saw?
Okay, so I am sure I saw what I saw for the first 3 to 4 hours.
Okay, I didn't ask you that.
And
I know you saw you saw what you saw. Are you sure you know what you saw?
If am I sure that what happened is what I saw? Is that your question?
No, I am going to ask it again. Are you sure that you know everything you saw was what you saw? I don't know how else to say it. I'm suggesting
that question doesn't. I'll interpret your question because I don't understand your question. You tell me if this interpretation is right.
I'll explain it then. In any mass movement, I'm explaining it. In any mass situation, you tend, because we are naive, you would look at something and presume it is what you're seeing. A bunch of, they're vocal, but they're well-organized and they're orderly. And then something happens. What do you think that is? How does it change its nature that quickly? Okay, that's my cue. I gotta go. Thanks so much, everyone, for contributing today. And we should continue this discussion. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring positive dimension to your life. And we'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.